Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the BT Powerhouse Podcast. My name is Thomas Bendit. I am the manager of BT Powerhouse. Big Ten basketball is officially underway. Conference play started last week. It is an exciting time for college basketball. A lot of big games, not only in the Big Ten, but across the country. And we're kind of happy to be back from our quasi-holiday podcast break here. Got one short one in over the Christmas holiday, but been a little light on podcasts, so hopefully we'll be a little bit more regular over the next couple of weeks. But this is our 51st podcast, and so today we're primarily just going to talk about the first week or so of conference play, maybe get into what's coming up here in the next couple of days a little bit, but really just some of the big takeaways, how we kind of see things shaking out. And then also talk a little bit about Iowa, the Hawkeyes, who have been red hot over the last couple of weeks. But to help us break it down, we have Graham from our own site. Graham, how's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Good, good. So obviously an exciting time for college basketball.
Yep.
A lot of great action, not only over the weekend, but tonight, a couple great games. Kansas and Oklahoma on in a little bit. I got it recording. I can't wait to watch that one. Obviously, you know, as I mentioned a couple times, the first week of conference play, there were some upsets. There were some kind of expected results. What were your big takeaways this week?
I think it's really interesting to watch who's going to really compete for that top spot in the Big Ten. Obviously, you know, we knew Michigan State was going to kind of struggle a little bit after losing Valentine. But seeing them drop that game to Iowa and then going and seeing Iowa, you know, come back from 19 points down to beat Purdue, very, very impressive for the Hawkeyes. So I think right now Maryland still looks like the top team in the Big Ten. I think they knocked the Spartans off that mantle, at least temporarily. But I'm, you know, really interested to see if Iowa can keep up their tear that they've been on recently.
Yeah, I really agree. I thought the big takeaway from the first week, it has to be Iowa. I mean, you know, there were some other games, you know, there were some big performances from some key players, but, you know, I understand, you know, Denzel Valentine's out for Michigan State, but Iowa, you know, they knock off number one at home for Michigan State, and then they go on the road and knock off number 14 Purdue. You know, I'm a self-professed hater of the national polls, but I use them just to kind of – this is a reference point. And, you know, to knock off two top 15 teams, including one on the road, that is a big week. I you know, I'm writing an Iowa piece for another site tonight, and, you know, I said this, and it's really an accurate statement, but there are a lot of teams that don't have two wins that good all year, and Iowa just did it in a week. So it's, you know, and realistically speaking, I mean, they could have the best week of any team in the country so far this year. Obviously, that'll change going forward, but, yeah, red hot. Jared Uthoff has been great. Mike Gazelle has been really solid. And, yeah, you mentioned the comeback against Purdue. I did want to talk about that game a little bit. Obviously, both teams are perceived as being real contenders this year, not only in the Big Ten, but, you know, potentially for a deep tournament run. You know, Purdue gets up big. It looks like they're just going to put it away. And then Iowa starts pressing. Purdue starts turning it over. And, you know, voila, Iowa wins the game. Did you have any big thoughts coming out of that game? Or, you know, what went wrong for Purdue?
Yeah, I think Purdue's really been an interesting team to watch this season because, you know, they kind of come into near the end of non-conference play and they've won every game by double digits. And then they go and play Butler in the Crossroads Classic and they end up dropping that game. But I think Purdue remains kind of one of those unknowns in the conference. You got, I think they're ranked, what, top 20 in the poll this week. But they've really had – they've had their solid wins, but they've also had their puzzling losses. And I think Iowa's just showed a lot of grit over these this past week, especially with that marginal win. It wasn't just a little win over Michigan State. It was marginal. And then, just to have that grit, especially that senior leadership from Utah, and obviously Gazelle's been great. Peter Jock has seriously stepped up for the Hawkeyes. I was really impressed. I actually turned off the game for a little bit, switched over to watch a little bit of ACC basketball. I switched back, and I was taking the lead. It was a little bit mind-blowing, but it'll be interesting to see if they can keep it up or if it's just a temporary thing or, what Fran McCaffrey's got going.
Yeah, and one question I wanted to ask you on this, and I do have a follow-up to this one, but, I think we both agree, Iowa has proven itself. They're going to make the NCAA tournament. I mean, the collapse would have to be, completely epic for them to have any chance of missing it. But how much can they do this year? I know the NCAA tournament's kind of a wild card, but can they win the Big Ten? Because right now they're 2-0. They've beaten, in our power rankings last week, Michigan State was the unanimous number one, and Purdue was number two, and Iowa just knocked them both off. Do you think the Hawkeyes can actually contend for the title?
I think they can contend for the title, and I think one of the main reasons they're going to be able to do it is because of their age. You look at teams like Maryland and Michigan State, who are a lot younger, who some might say are a lot more talented. But Iowa is a team that's been playing together for the past 2-3 years. I mean, you've got upperclassmen in Utah, Gazelle, Woodbury, and I think all of them have been contributing. So I think it kind of goes to show, in today's age in college basketball, you look at the top teams in the nation and you see that they're all bringing in those top 10 recruiting classes each and every year. But Iowa right here is proving that that whole 4-year plan that Fran McCaffrey's been putting together, building this team over the years, is starting to work. And I genuinely do believe that Iowa can compete for a title this year in the Big Ten. And I think it's too early to call them a favorite. Obviously, you've got a lot of competition at the top with Maryland, MSU, and maybe even Purdue. But, from what I've seen so far, they definitely have the grit to go out and win it.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you actually stated the exact reason that I think they're going to contend. Iowa is a very experienced team. In KenPom's experience rating, they're 78. You're talking about pretty much 4 seniors starting. Peter Jock is, the young guy. He's a junior. And, again, that may not sound crazy, but in today's college basketball, to be a top 15, top 20 type of team, with that much experience, it's kind of rare, to be honest. And
right.
I think where that's going to benefit them, I don't think it's going to benefit them when, they go on the road to Maryland or, they face Michigan State on the road in a week and a half or so. But I think it's going to benefit them a lot, when they face Northwestern, when they go and face Illinois, when they face Indiana.
Right.
Kind of those games, the in-between games that an inexperienced team is going to get rattled and they'll let slip away. And I think they're going to win more of those games than a lot of other teams do. And due to that, I think they're going to be right in it. Right now, KenPom has them projected at 14-4. That's going to be right there, I think. Maybe Maryland really turns it on here, but I'm expecting the champion to have a handful of losses. So, I think they're going to be in it. But spinning off of that, obviously, everyone wants to know, who's going to contend at the top. So, we've talked about Iowa. How do you kind of see this conference race shaking out here? Just a weekend, some of the, the top dogs, we talked about Michigan State and Purdue have both dropped a game already. How do you kind of see this shaking out over the next couple of weeks? Your early guess.
Yeah, I see Maryland as a clear front runner right now. I was excited to watch that Northwestern Maryland game this past week to see how Maryland would perform on the road, especially with Northwestern coming into conference play with only one loss. And, the Wildcats competed, but Maryland was clearly the more talented team. They were tougher. Diamond Stone had another solid performance. And the way he's playing, setting 39 points, a freshman record for Maryland, I think they just look like the most talented and most cohesive team. Rasheed Suleiman's been a huge add for them this year. He's been hitting a lot of threes, and Mello Trimble is exactly who we thought he was going to be. So, right now, I see the Terps at the front, and then right behind them, I see Iowa, Michigan State, Purdue. Those three are the main runner-ups right now. But I see those four teams contending.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement. You know, I think 2 weeks ago, I don't know if I would have said Maryland was the front runner, but I really believe that now. You know, they've really been trending up. I know they kind of had that scare against Penn State, but if you look at why that game was so close, they just shot so badly. I really don't think that's something that's going to happen very often. And and on top of that, you know, to shoot that badly and still win, I think tells a lot about your team. I mean, they shot 23.8% from three-point range, which is, needless to say, well below their season average of 39.3. So I just think, you know, and, you know, the other thing we talk about, we talked about Iowa's experience in some of those road games and, you know, in that random Tuesday night type of game. But Maryland has a tremendous home court advantage. I don't think it gets talked about very often, but I think they're undefeated for like a year and a half or 2 years or something like that at home. And frankly, you know, they're going to face some big challenges at home. You know, they get Purdue, they get some of those, you know, they get Iowa at home as well, talking about the Hawkeyes. But that's a huge advantage. You know, if you go undefeated at home, I know this is basic math, but you already get to 9 conference wins. So, I mean,
yeah,
it's a great start. I think they're the guy at the top of the heap right now. Michigan State, you know, Valentine's supposed to be back this week. We'll see if they can get through Illinois and Penn State this week, with or without them. But, you know, I think the Spartans are going to be a factor, but obviously, you know, they got to have Valentine back. And then, you know, Purdue, they're going to have a couple interesting games coming up here. You know, they get Michigan on Thursday, which I think is going to tell a lot about them and how serious of a contender they are. But yeah, I think those are your four teams. I think everybody else is a notch below. But it still should be a very competitive and interesting conference race. But spinning off of that, sort of moving down towards some of the middle teams, you know, some teams trending down. You know, speaking of Michigan, you know, they scored a couple big wins. The big question is obviously NCAA tournament bids. How many teams do you think are in position right now? You know, obviously, assuming the four teams we talked about for the title are already in. Who else do you see on the bubble right now? What do they need to do over the next couple of weeks to get in? Yeah, I guess what are your thoughts on the NCAA tournament right now for the middle Big Ten teams?
Yeah, I'm looking at maybe 8 or 9 teams right now that are really in contention. You know, you've got, I think, locks right now. You look at the top four, and I think Michigan, Indiana, those two teams are in good position. I think the middle ground with Ohio State, Northwestern, Wisconsin, that's going to be a little bit interesting to see how that shakes out. I probably see 2 of the 3 making the tournament. But Ohio State's kind of had an interesting turnaround as of late. Obviously, they got that huge win over Kentucky. They're able to fend off Illinois on Sunday. And then when you look at Northwestern, they've only got 2 losses. Bryant McIntosh has been playing fantastic. And even with the Ola injury, they're still going to be competitive this year, and they should – you know, at least finish around 500 in the Big Ten. And then Wisconsin, I don't think you can ever write off Wisconsin. Obviously, they're a March team with a new coach at the helm. It'll be interesting to see how they can continue that trend. But, yeah, I've really seen 8 or 9 teams competing right now. The bottom, you know, which is, yeah, Illinois, Nebraska, Penn State, Minnesota, Rutgers, I don't see any of those teams really in contention for a tournament bid right now. But depending on how the how the conference season shakes out, I really see 8 or 9 teams making it.
Wow! Yeah, bold pick here. I agree. I mean, you know, needless to say, I think the four teams are essentially locked. I know you technically can't say that, but I mean they're in great shape. But move down, I know some people are a little hesitant to buy into the Wolverines, but I think Michigan is a pretty safe bet at this point. Again, you know, especially being a Michigan fan, and I do throw that out there just so people know where I'm coming from. I don't want to jinx him here, but the thing is, if you go by KenPom, which, you know, I know not everybody loves KenPom, but whatever, I'm just going to use it as a frame of reference. Michigan set to finish 21-10 and 11-7 in the Big Ten. Again, you know, just projections. It's not a perfect gauge, but if they win 11 games, they're going to get it. They're just going to, unless they can't knock off anybody. But, you know, Michigan's going to have to knock off somebody big, because their best non-conference win is probably Texas. Maybe it turns into NC State on the road. We'll have to see. But Michigan's big problem is their front court, obviously. Now, maybe it's coming around with Mark Donnell. We'll have to wait and see. But, you know, that's their big issue. But I don't think there are as many teams that can expose that as people think in the Big Ten. You know, obviously Purdue, obviously Maryland, maybe Iowa. Woodbury's kind of touch and go sometimes. But maybe Deontay Davis for Michigan State. I don't know. But you're really only talking about four or six games, which, again, is even if they lose all games, they're still at, you know, 12-6, which is clearly good enough to make the tournament. I know this is a couple type of game, but Michigan, they have no bad losses in non-conference play. I know they don't necessarily have great wins, but the way they've taken care of the bottom type of teams, I think they're going to be relatively safe in those types of games. Again, I know this is all just looking ahead, but if they do that, they can knock off enough of the middle tier teams and knock off a big team or two at home. I think they're in good shape. So I definitely see them as the fifth sort of sitting team in the Big Ten. After them, yeah, Indiana, I do think they're going to make it. They have a huge week coming up this week. I know that, you know, they get Wisconsin and Ohio State at home. I know that may not seem like the most outstanding games, but those are two middle to Big Ten teams, both good enough to add to the resume. I do think if they can go through this week, really the next couple of weeks, sitting pretty, I think they would be in great shape. You know, if they won like seven in a row, something like that. After them, it gets a little shaky. I really think there are only three teams in serious contention at this point. I was holding out hope for Illinois, but I think they have too many losses to really, you know, and we've seen them. They really needed to win one game this week, last week, I should say, and they let it slip away. But, I think those teams are Ohio State, Northwestern, and Wisconsin. I will say, you know, I know everyone's holding out for Wisconsin to turn around, but I really think they're a long shot at this point. You know, if they're going to make it, you know, this is the week. They gotta make some noise. They get Indiana on the road, Maryland at home. They can upset the Terps. They're back in it. But, you know, there's a decent shot they end this week at 9-8, which, I mean, obviously not the best record.
Right.
But I really like Ohio State's chances to make it. I know that sounds weird given how they started the year. You know, they started 2-4. They actually got to 4-5 at one point. You know, they're sitting 10-5 right now. They've won 8 of their last 9. That includes wins over Kentucky. They beat Minnesota and Illinois at home this week, 2-0 in the Big Ten. But the notable thing is, you know, everybody talks about the rough start. You know, they lost to UT Arlington at home. They lost to Louisiana Tech at home. But those teams are actually not that bad. You know, and I say that, in a general RPI type of sense. You know, those teams aren't great, obviously. But, you know, Ohio State's sitting at 63 in the RPI. You know, I know everybody hates RPI, but, you know, it's a committee measure, so I'm looking at it. Sitting 63 isn't that bad. You know, UConn's at 61 right now. So I really think Ohio State starts, you know, continues to knock off some of these teams. And really, you know, takes care of business at home, unlike how they started the year. I think they have a really good shot to get in contention. The last team, and sorry for rambling so much here, but Northwestern, I actually think they are the complete opposite of Ohio State. You know, I think everybody's thinks they're in serious contention because they're 13-2 and their only losses are against Maryland and North Carolina. But, you know, everybody has repeated this for the last 3 months, but I'm going to repeat it again. Northwestern's non-conference schedule was horrible, just horrible.
Yep.
It was clearly designed to build up a win total and not designed for an at-large bid. And the reason I say this is not to, you know, rip on Northwestern or, you know, Collins for designing their schedule, whatever. But, I mean, just think about this. They're 13-2. They're 1-1 in the Big Ten. And they are 95th in RPI. Because everybody they beat is garbage pretty much. And again, you know, road wins at DePaul, Virginia Tech, not terrible, but they're not going to do much for you, you know, in terms of RPI. So Northwestern clearly has everything in front of them. You know, if they start winning some of these games, you know, they get Ohio State on Wednesday. That's a huge matchup for both teams. But I think the Wildcats are going to be sitting out. I think they have a great shot at the NIT. I will say that. But I think that they're going to have to perform so well in conference play because they don't have the quality wins. But nonetheless, I'm thinking 7 bids. I think Indiana gets in. I think Ohio State sneaks in at the end. You know, the Buckeyes are going to clearly they're going to be on the razor for the next couple of months.
Yeah.
But I do think they get in. But moving on from that, we hit the top, we hit the middle, so let's hit the bottom here for a little bit.
Great.
Yeah, for our listeners of some of the bottom teams, or at least what I perceive as the bottom teams, I guess. You know, everybody can turn it around. And some of the teams I'm talking about, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, Rutgers, Penn State, those types of teams. I know you're an Illinois guy. So I'll give you a couple seconds here to talk about Illinois. But what are your thoughts on some of these teams? Do you see any of them with a chance to, you know, turn it around, make the NIT? You know, what can they do, I guess, over the next couple of months?
Yeah, well, you look at the case of Illinois, and it's just been a disappointing season thus far. Obviously, you know, the Illini have struggled a lot with injuries. You couldn't even name all the guys who've gone down hurt. But, you know, I was a little bit impressed with their game against Ohio State this past Sunday. They really fought to the end. Illinois this season has notoriously been terrible coming out of halftime. But they're able to kind of keep it close. They took the lead at one point in Columbus. But right now it's basically Kendrick Nunn and Malcolm Hill. And the two are averaging over 18 points per game, which is really impressive because it's basically the duo that's doing it all for the Illini. But really, there's a lack of front court. There's no defensive or offensive rebounding. And they're living and dying by the three-pointer, and that's kind of the John Gross style right now. So, I mean, barring a really, really miraculous comeback, Illinois is not going to make the NCAA tournament this season. As far as the NIT goes, they could be a mid-level bid. They could be a low-level bid. At this point in time, they don't really have a good win they can hang their hat on. And so that's, I know it's disappointing for Illini fans, but it really looks like this year isn't their year. As far as other teams go, I was really impressed to see Penn State. I know we talked a little bit about this, hanging in there with Maryland in that game. But, you know, they've, Chef Gardner has been playing pretty well. You know, Pat Chambers has putting a team together. They haven't been fantastic. Obviously, they're hanging at the lower end of the Big Ten, but they've got a better recruiting class coming in next year, so I think that's something Nittany Lions fans can look forward to. As far as teams like Rutgers and Minnesota, I think they've just been simply unimpressive. Rutgers is going to struggle throughout the Big Ten season, just like they have the last year, and I think the same goes with Minnesota. I mean, they do have a solid home court advantage up there in the barn, but, you know, they haven't really been doing much as of late.
Yeah. I just want to hit on a couple things for two of these teams, and I'm going to pick what I perceive as the two bottom teams with Minnesota and Rutgers. First thing with Rutgers, you know, they are bad. You know, I hate to be that negative, but you know, the Scarlet Knights are just a bad team. They don't have the talent to hang with people. They don't have the depth. And the sad thing is they have players, you know, not to say great players, but they have players who could contribute in certain roles, but they just don't have the big time contributors. You know, they're trying to hang their hat on guys like, you know, Corey Sanders, Amir Greer, the transfer. And it's really just, they don't have the firepower to hang with the other teams. And again, this is going to sound like just bashing, and I really don't mean it as that, but I just kind of want to put this into perspective why I say this. You know, Rutgers, they're dead last, and this is KenPom's stats here, dead last among Power 5 teams. They would rank dead last in, you know, A-10, Big East, you know, pretty much pick any decent or, you know, quasi-major basketball conference, and they would be dead last. Clearly, mm-hmm. that you got to be pretty bad to be that low. The mm-hmm. other thing is, this week they get Maryland on the road, which is going to be, you know, nearly impossible for them Oof. To win, and then they get Nebraska at home. Now, the reason I mention this is, according to KenPom stats, Rutgers has a 45% chance to beat Nebraska at home on Saturday. It is actually the only game before February that Rutgers has at least a 10% chance to win. So if they don't win this game, there is a very clear chance, 6, 7, 8, 9, that they will start 0-9 in the Big Ten. After that, they get a few more, you know, quote unquote winnable games. They are projected to lose every game. You know, overall they're projected at 3-15 record in the Big Ten by KenPom, but in every specific game they're projected to lose. So yeah, I mean, Rutgers fans have to hope for a win on Saturday night. And it's unfortunate, but I do think you have some serious questions if they can't start to improve this year. I know next year was kind of the year where some of these younger guys were expected to take the next step and so on, but this is just bad. I mean, Rutgers should be better than this. I'm sorry. I know they don't have the richest basketball tradition, but you mm-hmm. know, they're almost losing to Rutgers directional schools. It's just a shame, you know. But yeah, that's my end of my rant on Rutgers. Minnesota's the other team. Minnesota is interesting because, again, another team that I frankly think should just be better than they are. Mm-hmm. You know, Minnesota has pieces. I don't think they have the guys to really hang with the quality teams. I will say that. I think next year they're going to start to get, you know, they have a really nice recruiting class coming in. They do have some young contributors playing now. I've written about this in the past, but Minnesota has just gotten horrible luck the last couple of years. You know, they bring in a big-time prospect last year. He can't play due to medical reasons. They've had some transfers at key positions, you know, so on and so forth. But yeah, Minnesota, they're in position to have a pretty rough big performance this year, and you know, they're kind of one of those teams that I kind of compare them to Penn State, where their fans coming into the year were kind of focused on next season, which is, it's kind of mm-hmm. odd to say, but yeah, I think next year is going to be the year for them. You know, not to say they're going to be great next year, but to really tell the direction of the program, where things are going. But you definitely would like to see some improvement for them over the next couple of months. And you know, clearly 6-8, rough start to the year. They lost to some underwhelming teams at home. But overall, yeah, that's the bottom of the Big Ten, or at least I as we kind of think. But yeah, before we go, I think we've touched on just about everyone in the Big Ten. Any final thoughts here on the Big Ten, the next couple of weeks? Kind of how you see things shaking out?
I think it's just going to be interesting to watch. You know, a lot of people have called Big Ten the best basketball conference in the nation, but obviously, you know, the ACC is always going to be performing. you've seen some guys from the SEC step up, and obviously the Big 12 is always a powerhouse with Kansas, and they've got Oklahoma this year. So I think it'll be interesting to watch over the course of the next couple months to see which conference wins out as far as getting the most teams in the tournament. I think the Big Ten's got about as much depth as anybody. I think the ACC can kind of rival them. But I think it's just going to be an interesting college basketball season because there's clearly, at this point, no number one team that's looked absolutely dominant. You know, last year we had Kentucky, and while we have Kansas this year, they still lost to Michigan State. And, you know, I guess if Oklahoma gets this win tonight, it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the season shakes out. But I really think it's all up for grabs, especially with all the upsets early in the season. And, yeah, it's just there's so much unknown right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the things I keep thinking about. I'm already kind of thinking about how I'm going to fill up my bracket, and which I know is way too early. But yeah, there are no clear teams that are at the top this year. It's going to be wild. And that's one of the big reasons why I think, you know, the Big Ten clearly has a couple teams that are in position to land very, very good seeds in March. You know, Maryland, Michigan State, you know, maybe even Iowa or Purdue. Landing though that seeding is going to be huge. And, you know, if the Big Ten can get that little extra boost, I think they could be in for a big year. But with that, Graham, thanks for joining us. Why don't you tell folks how they can check out?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter at Graham Hooten. I also run an Illini Twitter account at The Gross Report. You can follow me on Twitter, or you can check out my weekly Northwestern features for BT Powerhouse. Those come out on Wednesdays. And you can check out my work on SB Nation.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Graham.
Thank you.
And a reminder to everyone, that was Graham Hooten. Does great work for us. He does a couple of recaps for us a week. And, you know, as you mentioned, the Northwestern piece, an interesting perspective, obviously. But with that, I'm Thomas Bendit. Thanks for checking us out. And a lot of great games coming up this week. We have our Game of the Week post going up tomorrow morning. Really excited about a couple games coming this weekend. But with that, I'm Thomas Bendit, and make sure to check us out on the site, and we'll see you next time.